to all the cars with some of his buddies. He pulled in. It was cold, a wintry day, 4 degrees, with a high wind chill. He made sure all the windows were rolled up snugly, and he left the car running so the heater was blowing. And he said to the 9-year-old daughter, I'll be right back. You just play with your shoes, and I'll be right back. Well, he went into the bar and started drinking with his buddies, and he didn't come out of the bar until midnight. It was 6 hours later. In that time, the vehicle had shut off and the windows had become all frosted over and locked up so tight that he couldn't get herself out of the car. When the authorities opened up the car and rushed her to hospital, she was badly frostbitten that her thumb and forefinger had to be amputated. Her ears were so damaged and cold that she'll be deaf for the rest of her life. She was only 9 years old. The wife said with tears coming through the loudspeaker. The wife describes this to the group, and Trevor falls off his chair and starts convulsing on the ground. He just couldn't bear telling himself the truth about what he had done. He couldn't face it. He was going to live the rest of his life in some fantasy world of denial about what he had done. End of story. I'll tell you why I bring this story up. If I had time, I could pass the microphone down this aisle, down that aisle, and down that aisle down there. And I could say, what is one sin that you feel so desperately bad about that you can't even bring yourself to acknowledge that you actually did it? The one that you can't bring out of darkness. Bring it into light so that God can forgive you. What is that one sin that keeps you under a cloud of guilt day in, day out? What is that one sin that's eating you up every time you think of it? What is that one sin that you're allowing the enemy just to attack, 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 drip, drip, drip? Let me tell you something. Until you're willing to release that sin through repentance to God, you are declaring that you are independent from God and that you do not need him in your life. There has got to come a point in your life where you admit that you've failed and that you need God to take over because you have done such, you haven't done such a good job of it. And that's okay. No one is perfect. God knows that. And God's gift of grace is for everyone who trusts in Jesus. And this isn't something that is just true for some. It is true for all of us, praise God. Until we admit that God has not been first place in our lives and in every area of our lives, we will not be able to go down the path of healing and forgiveness. Acts 2:38 in the Message says, Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins will be forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that God doesn't view us as weak because we need him. Instead, he invites us to turn from our sins and turn to him for salvation. It is simply a matter of admitting that we've been going down the wrong direction and doing a U-turn so that we're headed in the direction God wants us to go. It's that easy. God loves us that much. He is a loving father. Some of you may not have had a loving father in your life, but he is the loving father. He will always forgive. And the best thing about it, he will forget it. Number three, from living for self to living for God. Now let's get back in the car for a minute. Let's pretend we've been realizing we've been heading down the wrong direction and we've stopped and bought a map that tells us the right way to go. But when we get out on the road, we start heading back down that wrong direction again. We know the right way, but we've decided to go back down that wrong way anyway. This is the real problem that many of us face. We've had an initial act of repentance, but we quickly begin to live a life of sin all over again and again and again and again. And while we need to recognize that we're not saved by doing works, we're expected to live in obedience to God. And obedience to God is demonstrated when we continue following his directives for our lives. It's a response to his everlasting love for us. Romans 6:11 says, "So you should consider yourselves dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus." See, when I repent, I'm saying to God, I am not just turning away from my old life. I'm killing it off. Sorry, I am just turning away from my old life. I'm killing it off. I'm burying it. The old man is out the door. Because until I do that, I am not going to be empowered to live for the glory, for God's glory. Matthew 3:8 says, "Prove by the way you live. Prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God." They're in black and white. In other words, there is going to be some evidence of that change in my life that will stand as proof positive that I am a child of God. Are there going to be times of weakness when I give in and need to repent again? Sure there is. But if I'm serious about this, those times will become less and less more frequent. God always gives us an out. It is our choice. When I take a U-turn with my life, I'm turning away from dishonesty. I'm turning away from lust. I'm turning away from jealousy. I'm turning away from greed. And I'm turning away from all the things that are taking me away from God. Because until I allow God to help me remove those things from my life, I will not be able to live in obedience to him. You know, there have been times in my life when I've tried to stop doing things on my own. Not so good things. And I've kept on falling into the same sin. Then I admitted it to God. I repented. And bam! Went straight back down that ugly old path again. Then I repented again. And again. And again. But by the grace of God, I later found myself not being tempted anymore. You know, some of us may repent and never turn back to that sin. Some of us will repent, and because we're working on it, we might go down that path again. God knows. That's why he loves us. He wants us healed. He wants us whole. And some of us are slow learners, and that's okay. Because we'll have to suffer the consequences of our choices that we make. I have. For me, the more times I repented, the less tempting sin was. That's just me. It's not theological or anything else like that. Some things may take time and effort. Some won't. You know, who likes going up to someone and admitting that you're wrong? By saying, "Devin, the other day, I'm so sorry, man. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Chrissy, forgive me. I don't know what I did wrong, but you've got to forgive me now." It's a hard thing going up to someone. It's pride. And you know what? Some of you may think, "Oh, I can go up to God anytime. Oh, God, yeah, forgive me. Yeah, I'm sorry for that." And keep going down that road again. Ah, it's not like that. If you do that, you're acting on cheap grace. If you're serious about your relationship with God, you will go to God humbly, just like you would do with your father or your mother when you've done so, or your teacher, when you know you've done something wrong and you've got to go. Like we say to our kids, you know, you have to go to Mrs. So-and-so and apologise for throwing a stone at that kid's head, their kid's head or something like that, or a ball or something, you know. Kids are kids. Kids are kids. Come on. They do things like that, or jumping on their head or something, I don't know. But the fear of that child having to go up to an adult and say, I'm sorry, is just out of, they'll do anything else, but they'll clean the car, they'll wash the dishes for a year, they'll do everything, but do that. We are the same when we do that with our fellow brothers and sisters. But I can guarantee you, the more that you go to God humbly and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I need you to help me. I want to follow your ways. The easier it gets. Some of us, bang, you go right down that narrow path and it's great. Some of us, like myself, may take a couple of times doing that. But I hate going. I love going to God, but I hate having to go to God saying, Lord, forgive me. Because he's going, well, you know, he doesn't go, well, you know, I've forgiven you 28 times already on the same one. He doesn't. Many of us would, with our friends. Mate, how many times have I got to forgive you? Like Jason preached the other week. How many times have I got to forgive you, mate? Come on. Well, we've got to forgive them if they come to us. 77 times 7. You know what? Some people can never say sorry. I bet each and every one of you now know in this room, oh, I know that person. It reminds me of Happy Days. Probably some of you probably are old enough to know Happy Days, the Fonz. Some of you guys probably don't know who the Fonz is. But the Fonz, and I used to love that as a kid. He goes, oh, he's going to say it, he's going to say it. And you go, oh, I'm, and we'd be, I remember someone thinking, he's going to say it, he's going to say it. But nah, he never said it, he never said sorry. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Everything we do has consequences, whether it's good or bad. Number 4, from separation to salvation. Now back to my car trip again. I can choose to keep going down that direction I'm going and not make a U-turn that God requires, okay? God gives me the ability and the choice to turn toward him or away from him. It's my choice. How good is that? But I need to understand that he will not only honour that choice, which is great, in the here and now, but he will honour that for all of eternity. If I never repent and turn to God, I will never be in a relationship with him. In fact, he promises me that I will go down the road of eternal destruction. In Luke 13:5, he says, I tell you again, unless you repent, you will also perish. There it is, in black and white. No fluffing around, no brushing past it, no looking the other way. Jesus says, plain and simple, that I can choose for him and receive salvation, or choose against him and continue down the path of separation forever. Acts 17:30-31 says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus Christ. He has given proof to this to all men by raising him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. There is a judgment coming. And so those who have repented will turn their lives over to God, will be with him for all of eternity. But those who do not will be judged unfit for the kingdom of God. And that is the truth. Now I look at what God is offering, and none of it's something that you wouldn't want to have. He offers me a clean slate. He offers you a clean slate. He offers us all sin removed from our lives. He offers us all guilt to be taken away. Wow! He offers us joy. He offers us peace. He offers us security, eternal life, hope. And blessings a thousandfold have been promised to each and every one of us. There is nothing he wants to give that is unpleasant or that will harm us in any way. Let's not be fooled. He doesn't want that. He just asks that we acknowledge that his way is the best way and that we place our trust in him instead of ourselves and that the world has to offer. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I don't know about you, but those times of refreshing are something that we sorely need in this world. And I can't find it anywhere else other than in him. I need, and you need, we all need to turn our lives over to God and let him be in control. Luke 15:10 says, "There is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." And why is there joy? Because God really, truly loves us with all his heart. And when we repent, we're telling God that we're coming home to be for him, with him forever. We're building on that relationship. Can I have the music team, please? This U-turn sign looks so simple. And it is. One moment you're headed in one direction, and in the next moment you're heading in the opposite direction. And it can be that simple for each and every one of us. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to have a degree in religion. All you need to know that your life is headed in the wrong way, that Jesus knows best for you, and that you're willing to follow his way instead of your own way. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to do that today? Will you all stand, please?